We're talking this year about matters of our heart, so let's say together our verse for 2009. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. I hope you're committing that to memory. Let's test your memory. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. With Valentine's Day yesterday, most of us are still thinking this morning about love, unless, of course, you happen to forget about Valentine's Day, in which case you're nursing the lump on your head from the skillet that came across the room. But this morning, our text this morning references both themes, the theme of our 2009 year, the heart, and the theme of this morning, love. Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. If you're looking for 2 Thessalonians, it's getting close to Revelation, but not quite there. Just a couple of pages before Hebrews. Let's stand together out of deference to the Word of God and read. I wanted you to have your own Bible open, but we'll read together from one version here. Let's read together. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient endurance of Christ. Shall we pray? Father, we are about to embark on a task that I feel incredibly inadequate for, and that's talking about your word, your eternal word. I've no comprehension of what eternity is, and your word endures forever. But you say that your spirit is able to make our spirits understand what you wrote, what you inspired. So on the basis of that, I ask you to be powerfully among us this morning with your word, your spirit speaking to us. And I ask that the distractions would be put away and that we would hear you speaking to us by your word. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Some of you know that my daughter Elizabeth recently became engaged to a young man named Taylor. I want to tell you a little bit about the day he proposed to her. It happened to be just a few weeks ago on New Year's Day. And his plan was this. He took her all around this little town where they've been in school these last number of years. All the places they'd been on different dates, parks and, you know, the swinging bridge and the stream over here and all these different places that were special to them in how their relationship grew and developed. And as he took her, he had gone ahead and left clues, little notes. One place there was a message in a bottle. What do you know? And the message in the bottle said, you got to go to Taco Bell, which happened to be their favorite place, and order an ultimate deluxe taco. And so they did, and they pulled up to the speaker and said, you know, I want an ultimate deluxe taco. And the lady said, oh, well, pull on around, because he had gone there earlier and told them, now, when I come for an ultimate deluxe taco, I want you to give her a taco and put this note in her. So she pulled forward, or they pulled forward, and here comes this ultimate deluxe taco with a clue to the next destination. And at each destination, there'd be something like that, a poem or a CD or a song or something special that alluded to their relationship, how it had developed over the years. Finally, and this happened over several hours, the last place directed them to this beautiful scenic overlook with the valley below, and it was near sunset, and everything was just as it should have been. And he got down on one knee, and what was the outcome? Well, he had been doing just exactly what this text tells us. He had been directing her heart to his love over the last number of years. And what was the outcome? She didn't stand a chance. She said yes. I would like us to let the Lord direct our hearts into the love of God. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. That's the Apostle Paul's prayer. And into the patient endurance of Christ. Now, the bulk of our time this morning will be spent on the first part. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. Feels like it's ringing to me up here, Lou. Let's see if we can unpack this verse, this prayer, a little bit. Let's take that first phrase, may the Lord direct your hearts. Let's look at that word direct. Direct. You know, we use that word direct in a number of ways in our English language. Yesterday, as we said, we were in Myrtle Beach watching Phyllis run the marathon, and there were cones and all these things that were directing her and the other 2,499 runners which way to go. Sometimes you pick up a water hose and you direct the water to a certain thing you're wanting to scrub off. Or the UPS package system directs the different packages on these conveyors and that chutes and all the way to get the package of special chocolates for Valentine's Day to your special person. The concept is to point or aim or focus or channel. But when it comes to directing people, people who have minds and wills and freedoms, we tend to use this word direct a little bit differently, and it tends to be, as near as I can understand it, primarily in these different connotations. The first is to direct our attention for review or consideration. Picture a museum guide. Now, in this painting, I direct your attention to the woman's eyes, he might say. What's the tour guide saying? Look over here. I present an object for your review, for you to consider and to turn it over in your mind and think about this or that. So that might be one way we use the word direct. Another is that is to give instruction or guidance or advice. When you're driving somewhere and it becomes apparent that you're lost, your wife says, why don't we stop for directions? Of course, you know better than that because you would never do that, and you don't need someone to direct you or show you which way to go, right? So this kind of directing might be something like this. You know, you really should put some air in that tire. Or, I recommend using a drop cloth when you're painting over carpet. Or, it's important to take a shower and dress nicely for your job interview. Now, the person you're directing when you use statements like that may or may not appreciate, and they may or may not respond to your direction. But the point is here that you're directing in them in the way that they should go. So the first one, just kind of a, look, I'd like you to look over here. The second one is you're directing a little bit in the way they should go. They may or may not receive it. The third way we tend to use the word direct is to actively direct someone to a particular course of action, and in your directing, you have the intention of achieving a particular outcome. I need you to get that report to me by 5 p.m. Friday, your boss says. The trash needs to be taken out and the homework done before the TV gets turned on. You hear the directing? A little different tone, isn't it? And there's not so much wiggle room with this kind of direction, is there? What is directed is also expected to happen. And here's the way we might use this concept. Steven Spielberg was the director of this film. So-and-so is on the Exxon board of directors. Leon Panetta is the director of the CIA. And I don't suppose there's a lot of wiggle room, not a lot of freedom to not do what Mr. Panetta says, do you? Well, this person who is directing in this way is definitely in charge, and he directs those around him to perform certain tasks in order to accomplish the intended objective so that it will happen. Which way do you suppose this word, may the Lord direct your hearts, is intended to mean? What do you think? Well, that's the English question, the English usage, but you may be wondering, what did the Bible writers mean when they used it? And that's a very good question, and I'm glad you asked that. The word is only found two other times in the New Testament. Here's one, in the prophecy about John the Baptist as he was born. This is the prophecy that was made, you child will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet. That same word, to guide or direct our feet into the path of peace. Here's the next use. Also by Paul, also to the letter, also to the church of Thessalonica, and it's also a prayer. Now may the Lord direct our way to you. The same word. So here we are. Now may the Lord direct our way to you. Was he saying, here's a picture. Would you look at the woman's eyes? I'd like you to think about the woman's eyes. Or was he like a CIA director? Now may the Lord make sure by 5 p.m. Friday that report is on my desk. Or somewhere in between there. What do you think? It's interesting that almost all of our English translations translate this word in 1 Thessalonians 3:5 by the word direct. But there are a couple of paraphrases, some of them you're familiar with, that say it slightly different. The New Living says, may the Lord bring you into an ever deeper understanding. Bring you into an ever deeper understanding of the love of God. And here's the way the Message says, may the Master take you by the hand and lead you along the path of God's love. The Greek word basically is this, to cause to go straight, to guide or direct in the right way, to so influence others as to cause them to follow a recommended course of action. So now when I ask you the question, what did the writer, what did Paul mean, which kind of direct did he mean when he said, may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God? What do you think? Well, here's what I think, and this part is free, which means it might not be worth anything. I think that the New Testament uses this word direct somewhere down here between 2 and 3. And that's just a sense as I have looked at it, and I'd like you to think about it somewhat too. I don't quite think it's in a dictatorial command, have that report by 5 p.m. direction, but I don't think the Lord is into suggestions either in saying, you know, here's an interesting look on this woman's face that was painted and so on and so forth. It's not just here for something for you to look at. It's not just, you really ought to. My sense is that it is a little bit more powerful than that, but not quite the other. Anyway, I want you to think about that. Now, what does God direct? Let's think about that a minute. May the Lord direct what? Your hearts. And as you know, we've been studying this whole concept of hearts, so let's talk about the heart. May the Lord direct your hearts. He didn't say, may the Lord direct your minds. Not some cerebral thing, not cold, calculating logic, although the mind certainly plays a part. And it's not the emotion. May the Lord direct your emotions. No. Although the emotions play a part, and we were created with those, and beautifully so. He didn't say, now may the Lord direct your bodies. He said, may the Lord direct your hearts. Why? The heart is the essence of who we all are, isn't it? It's the inner core, the inner person. And the Lord, may the Lord direct your hearts. The you at the center of you. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. And God's work on the heart is just that, by direction. He does it without violating your freedom. He does it without violating the liberty of your will and your personality and who you are. He directs. Do you get the sense? He directs your heart, Paul says. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love. So let's go to that next word, into. Why did Paul pray, may the Lord direct your hearts into? Why didn't he say to? May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God. Yeah? Why didn't he say, may the Lord direct your hearts about the love of God? That word into is interesting. It conveys a motion toward a place. And so what I picture, and I think you will too as you look at it, may the Lord direct your hearts into. They get the sense of an immersion, total basking, total surrounding. May the Lord direct your hearts into what? Into the love of God. Totally enveloped and surrounded, just awash in this love of God. And I think perhaps he intends us to experience and re-experience and re-experience again the love of God. May the Lord direct your hearts into the whole deal. Take it in. Drink deeply of the love of God. It's not a code. So then let's go to the next word. Into what? Into the love of God. God's love. He didn't say, may the Lord direct you to the Ten Commandments, as important as those are. He didn't say, may the Lord direct you to a statute of rules and a code of rules. He didn't say a bunch of do's and don'ts, even those things are important. He didn't say, may the Lord direct you into the holiness of God, even though that's important. He didn't say, may the Lord direct you into the majesty and the awesome creative powers of the Lord, even though those are very important. He said, may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. Why does he direct us into the love of God? I was reading this week in the life of Moses. And Moses prayed, you remember, Lord, show me your glory. And what did God reveal to Moses when he said, show me your glory? I would imagine that Moses wanted to see splendor and incredible fireballs of glory. And the Lord said this as he revealed himself. He didn't say that, did he? The Lord said this. The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, who forgives transgression and sin. The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, abounding in loving kindness. Is that what Moses expected to see when he said, Lord, show me your glory? But that's what the Lord revealed to Moses when he said, show me your glory. And Paul says, may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. This love thing wasn't our idea. It was his from the start. It was his before the world began. It was his before you had a concept of love, of being feeling loved, of loving, of giving love and receiving love. That thing about love was his. Between the Father and the Son and the Spirit in eternity past, that was his idea. And he created you and me in his image, and one of the things he gave us was love. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. Why did he reveal himself as love? I think one of the reasons is because love begets love. We love him because he first loved us. Doesn't love just naturally reciprocate, doesn't it? You love, and it is natural for that person to love in return. It's unnatural when it doesn't happen, doesn't it? Or is that only my experience? You know, it's as if Paul said with this prayer for these people in Thessalonica, and I believe he prayed it for us as well. You know what you need, folks? You need a deeper picture of God's love. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. If you can just get a glimpse of his love, everything else will fall into place. The commands, the holiness, the majesty, the creative splendor and glory of God. Yeah, what you need to see is the love of God. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. Perhaps that's why God revealed himself to Moses that way first. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. Now, as I said earlier, and this also is free, so take it for what it's worth, I believe the word in the New Testament, direct, seems to fall in the area of between the second and the third. It's not just, you know, okay, take it if you like it, direction. It's stronger than that, but neither is this forced thing. But I want to go a little bit further with that with you. You know what? I believe that the more we fall into the love of God, the more God likes to step back and be less involved in the directing of our hearts. Why is that? You watch a mature love between a man and woman who've known and loved each other for many years, and what does it look like? It's more mature. It doesn't have to be so directing. They respond to the person that they love without having to be told what to do or to be directed? How about your child? The child is young and there's a lot of directing going on, isn't there? After you brush your teeth, you get your jammies on and you do this. But as that child grows, the directing is less and less. Why? The child is beginning to understand how to relate in the terms of love and respond to the love of what you need and what you desire. And I believe God wants to relate to us in the same way. And as we are directed, as our hearts are directed into the love of God, what takes over? We begin to think first about where He's coming from, what pleases His heart, how He would like to respond. And we need less of the channeling and the focusing and the directing and the pointing the hose like a or the stream of water like with a hose or the conveyor belt at UPS or any of those places. God directs our hearts into the love of God. And that begins to be more powerful than the directing. And I think God likes to be less and less invasive. The longer we get to know Him, the more we fall in love with Him, He steps back. And that's the way it is on a human level, and I think it is that way with God as well. And I think that's what Paul got a glimpse of. May the Lord direct your hearts, into the love of God. So you know what I'd like us to do now? I'd like us to take just a pause and experience, perhaps re-experience something of this love of God. Immerse ourselves again into the love story that God wrote. Just take a brief glimpse. There's so much more than we can possibly touch on. I'm sure that you're going to think of other verses in the scriptures about love story. I want you to kind of make a mental note of that because we're going to maybe be able to use those a little bit later. So would you direct your heart into the love of God? We're just going to let the scriptures take us on a journey through this love story of God's love. Let your heart be swept away again by His love, would you? Let's direct our hearts into the love of God who chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we would be holy and blameless before Him. How did He do it? In love. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, which He freely bestowed, that kind intention He freely bestowed on us. In whom? The Beloved. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. It was God who looked past our trespasses and sin. It was God who, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us. It was God who, because of His great love with which He loved us, while we were still helpless as sinners, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And thus God demonstrated His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Would you direct your heart to the one who purchased our forgiveness, who repurchased us from sin? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That love is what sent the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. That love is what pierced Christ through for our transgressions. That love is why He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon Him, and by His scourgings we are healed, and all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on Him. Why is that? In Him, why is it that we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses? Well, it's because of the riches of His grace which He lavished on us. It's because of His great love that we have been bought with a price, redeemed with the blood of an unblemished and spotless lamb, the blood of Christ. Would you direct your heart into the love of God that sealed you, sealed you with the Holy Spirit of promise that intended for you an inheritance that will never fade away. Would you direct your hearts to His love? It was this love and by this love that Jesus said to us, I go to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come again and receive you to myself because I want to be where you are and I want you to be where I am. That's what my daughter, Taylor and Elizabeth, that's the only thing they can think of right now. I want to be with him. I want to be with her the rest of my life. That's what motivates this kind of statement, that where I am, you may be also. I want you to be where there's no more death, no more pain, no more mourning. I want you to be where I'm making everything new. Why? Because here we don't have a lasting city. No, you don't. But the king is going to say, come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit. Who gets an inheritance? Those who are loved. Inherit the kingdom prepared from you from the foundation of the world. Let's summarize just this brief journey. Indeed, He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. What are blessings? Blessings are what you give to those you love. Isn't that right? Oh yes, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. We may wash our robes. We now have the right to the tree of life. And we can drink of the water of life without cost. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. What kind of God designs all of this for people like you and me? The God of love. What kind of Savior impales himself on a tree for the likes of you and me? A Savior whose heartbeat is love. What kind of spirit draws you to himself? Though you stiff arm and resist, and which of us hasn't? A spirit who loves you. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, and you won't stand a chance, just like Elizabeth.